Our scripture reading this morning is Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 14, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. You'll find it on page 1072 if you're using the Pew Bible. Now, the theme that unites these passages is the significance of the inward life as opposed to the merely outward life. Jesus was ministering amidst an Israel that had become ritualistic, and they thought that righteousness was merely a matter of doing the right things externally. They thought defilement was doing the wrong things, and they were living in a time that did, in fact, have food restrictions and contact restrictions, but they had failed to realize that even from the days of Moses, it was a matter of the heart. Moses had said, "Circumcise your heart." That's not a New Testament quote only, that's an Old Testament quote. And so in verses 14 to 23, Jesus points out that our problem is not that we would eat the wrong foods. There may be something to that. But the real issue is the corruptness of our own heart. It's not the outside things that come in and defile you. But he says it's what comes out of a person that defiles him. We need to realize that the great problem of our lives is that we are corrupt. Our desires are corrupt. The very fact that we desire something does not make it good. In fact, it may very well be defiling. And Jesus points that out. It is the inward life that we are to be cleansing, not merely a ceremonial outwardness. Now, the second two passages, he's dealing in terms of people groups. Now, again, this is a time when you have the Jews and you have the Gentiles. The covenant people are the Jews. The Gentiles are outside of that. There was a purpose for that until the coming of Christ and the gospel going forth through the world. And yet Jesus shows here that all along what matters is not what family you were raised in. Do you know that being raised in the right family is not everything? You may be raised in a great family and be an awful person. The nationality that you have, being raised in a Christian home, there's many blessings of that, but it's no substitute for the reality of saving faith. In fact, you may have none of those things. Your life may be outwardly terrible in many ways, but if you come to Jesus Christ, he will nonetheless give you saving faith. And so we have in verses 24 to 30 a Syrophoenician woman. That's a Gentile. And she's got a daughter who is demon-possessed. And when she appeals through faith to the grace of Jesus Christ, she is given his salvation blessing. Then we have Jesus in places like Tyre and Sidon and the Decapolis. Ritualistic Jews would not be happy about this. What's he doing in those places? Why, he's saving people. How does he save? Through faith. So on the one hand, anything but Jesus is not ultimately of significance. And yet if we have Jesus, whatever else is true of us, we have the blessing of God in our lives. Let me point out one small issue in verse 27. Here we have Jesus, shall we say, being non-politically correct. The Syrophoenician woman asked for a blessing, and Jesus says, let the children be fed first, that's Israel, let Israel get the blessings, not you, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And you may say, I know it can't be true, it sounds like Jesus is referring to this woman and her child in an analogy to a dog. Well, that is what he's doing. But he's not being severe, he's not being abusive to her. He is making a point to her. He knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to bless her. He's saying harsh truths to her so that she will humble herself and come to him in faith. She is a Gentile. She needs to come to him through the faith of the people of God. When she does, he blesses her. You know, the Bible will say things to you that are not pleasant or politically correct. And how should you respond when the Bible says things to you that are offensive? Well, the answer is you should believe them. Because they're true, you should humble yourself and seek a mercy that you also do not deserve. But he will give it as you call upon him through faith in his wonderful grace. With these things being said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 14 of Mark 7. And he, Jesus, called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ear and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." May God be praised through the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Amen.